chapter 28. And 10, 11, 12, 13 we'll read. A little bit of repetition here, but there's a purpose for that repetition. And we'll talk about it here now. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. There's a promise, and we thank God for that promise. Rest, refreshing, praise God. Stammering lips, another tongue. We know what he's referring to there. Amen. The blessings of God. But oh my, how could they refuse? How could they turn aside? How could they fall back? That's what we're calling this today. Fall back. Something we want to avoid. Something we want to make sure never happens in our spiritual walk. Now, we know fall back is a positive phrase when we're talking about maybe our finances. We make sure we've got a rainy day fund that we fall back on. Or we've got another plan if we're traveling or something of that aspect, we fall back. But the fall back here in Isaiah 28 is not a good thing. And it's a spiritual disaster for Israel, for Judah. And we want to make sure that we're not going to fall into that same mistake. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. There's actually different perceptions that scholars have of this passage, the precept upon precept, and the repetition that is done there was a warning to Judah for judgments that were going to come because of their idolatry and spiritual adultery. If you read the context here of Isaiah 28, there's quite an indictment that is brought against Judah and Jerusalem. The priests and the prophets were drunks. They were drunken. They just forsook their responsibility of being leaders of the people towards God and were indulging themselves in the way that they should not have. And the people of Judah were actually, it's thought, mocking God and mimicking his word with just sounds and repetition that was nonsense. And that's the Hebrew here in this passage is just words that don't make sense. And so the precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, they're just kind of meh, 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 meh. Like, you know, we would say, nana, 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 so not grandma, but, you know, somebody who is just making fun. And that's one concept of this passage of Scripture, that they were mimicking and mocking. The other concept is that God wanted to teach knowledge and understanding of doctrine. He was looking for grown and mature people who were ready to receive from the Lord, who were looking to the Lord and desiring something to be imparted to them. And the Lord determined the teaching would not be overwhelming, because he could definitely overwhelm us. He could make it so complicated and make it so difficult to understand that it would be no one would be able to grasp all of the principles of creation. And I know there's a controversy about life And where did life come from? And how did life begin? How did it progress to where we are? We know the creation story, and I stand upon that. Praise God. And I know there's others. But even before life, where did all of the elements come from? I know gold is, you know, something of value. Where did it come from? How did it get put into the earth and the rocks and so on? Where did platinum come from? Where did plutonium come from? You know, all of the elements now on that table of elements, and how scientists have been able to say there's so many neutrons, there's a neutron, there's so many protons, there's so many electrons. How did they know that? How did that all get there? There had to be a designer. There had to be somebody who would say, this is the way it's going to be, and this is the way I'm going to create it. Even before there was life, even before there, you know, the Lord formed man out of the dust of the earth, when he spoke everything into existence, God was the designer. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the power that God would be able to reveal. And we could go on and say, well, how do the planets stay in orbit? How is there a balance between centrifugal force and gravity so that the moon doesn't come crashing into the earth? And all of these aspects. How do we know it's 365 and a quarter days of going around our orbit of the sun? And how do we know it's 24 hours that the earth rotates on its axis and so on? All of these things, and it stayed that way. It's remained that way since the Lord put it into existence. Praise God. So there's much that we could be overwhelmed with, but God says, I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you a little here, a little there, line upon line, precept upon precept, and your mind is going to be able to comprehend it. Your heart is going to be able to ascertain it, and you're going to be able to keep it in your mind and in your heart, and it's going to guide you. It's going to help you. It's going to direct you. Praise God. So I'm thankful we can have a relationship with the Lord where he understands our limitations. And he brings us into his presence and into his power. Now, this is a prophecy that has a pre-fulfillment. Stammering lips, another tongue, was indicative of foreign invaders that would come against Judah with a different language, and they would conquer Judah. The Lord offered Judah rest and refreshing, but they refused. They would not. They wouldn't take heed. And so the Lord fulfilled this in the way that brought Judah into captivity. It was a prophecy looking ahead to what God was going to do with spiritual rest and refreshing, the tongues being a sign of his power and his presence. And thank the Lord, we recognize what God was able to do. On the day of Pentecost, when there was the outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord for the first time, there were also those who mocked. There were also those who made fun, and probably there were some who mimicked. Just like this passage of Scripture says, there were people who mimicked the word of the Lord. But others understood that they were speaking the wonderful works of God, and they were recognizing God and his power was bringing forth a fulfillment of his promise. The 120 who were in that upper room were all filled with the Spirit of God, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Thank God, nobody needs to be left out. Everyone can have this experience because God desires for them to have his Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 14 and 21, Paul talking about the sign referred back to Isaiah 28, 11. He made reference to it. Tongues are for a sign. Sometimes the language is understood. Most times it is not. There's too many languages in the world. Dead languages. And the Bible talks about languages or tongues of men and of angels. Who knows them all? Nobody on this earth but Almighty God. is able to inspire it, able to give it. Praise God. But oh my, we've heard reports of Hebrew being spoken. We've heard reports of German being spoken, of Chinese being spoken, and people who understood what was being said, amazed that somebody who is not a speaker was now being used by the Lord to speak to those individuals. And thank God, the power of the Lord is not diminished. It has not worn out. It's still continuing. God's still showing his power. God's still doing the work. Amen. And there are those who speak in English when they receive the Holy Ghost, and non-English speakers. But all of a sudden, they're saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. Praise God. And quote Psalm 23. Oh, thank the Lord for the power of God that is poured out as God pours out his spirit upon all flesh. So how could Israel fall backward? Why would they choose to go that direction? Israel, as the 10 northern tribes, had already gone into captivity. First, they were captive to idolatry, addicted to those experiences and those situations, and then a real captivity by the Assyrians. They didn't turn back to God. They were conquered. Judah didn't learn the lesson. The two tribes to the south, they had the temple. They were at Jerusalem. And thank God there were some kings who led Judah back to God in revival. Asa and Josiah and so on. Different ones that we know were involved in their desire for the things of God. I thank the Lord that there was mercy that God would extend to them. David wrote about it in Psalm 86. In verse 5, he writes, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Thank God we know the truth of that verse. We know the reality of God's forgiveness. Thank God we know his mercy is plentiful. In verse 15, David continues writing about it. "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, and long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Again, thank the Lord, we know the truth of that verse and how God has brought forth his mercy to us. But Judah continued to ignore the prophecies, continued to ignore the hand of God, and they continued to be drawn away into idolatry and spiritual adultery, and they fell back into sin over and over. Yes, God sent the prophets. He sent warnings. He had compassion upon his people, but they would not listen. They mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words. And 2 Chronicles 36 and 16 lets us know how they just did not take heed to what God was trying to tell them. They misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. And this is the sad part, till there was no remedy. And they went into captivity. They lost out in the place that they should have been. And like Isaiah prophesied, they were broken. They were snared. They were taken. And it would seem like that would be the end. But again, thank God for his mercy and the restoration that he brought to the people of God. The amazing survival of the Hebrews during exile and afterwards as well. Daniel and the story of those contemporaries that were with him. Daniel and the young men, the people of God in Babylon for 70 years. And during that time, the prophet spoke with encouragement and correction. Thank God he did not forsake his people. And Daniel and others were such a shining example of purposing in their hearts. They're not going to fall back into those situations. They're not going to go the way of sin. They held on to the word of God and their desire to walk with the Lord. They chose to eat unappetizing and unappealing palsy or beans and vegetable juice instead of eating at the king's table, because they recognize that food has been offered to idols and we're not going to participate in that. And so they proposed a time frame in 10 days. In 10 days, compare us and see what the difference is. If we're emaciated and we're shriveled up because of just drinking V8 juice, then we'll understand it's going to be a problem. and we'll, I suppose, partake of the king's table. But let's just try it out. Let's just test and see. 10 days later, there was the comparison that was made, and the Bible says they were found to be 10 times better, not only in terms of health, but in wisdom and in understanding. Oh, thank God that we can choose the way that He provides. We can determine in our hearts we're not going to fall back into the ways of sin and wrongdoing, but we're going to go the way of God. We're going to walk according to His Word. We're going to believe His promises. I don't have to fall back into those ways of sin. Thank God that I can follow the Lord and what He desires to do. And thank God there are still young men and women today who are determined. We're going to obey God. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to serve Him. We're not going to go the way of culture. We're not going to go the way of this world. We're going to follow after the Lord and do what He said to do. Praise God. And we know the story of Nehemiah and Ezra commissioned to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild, and King Cyrus pledging to pay for the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. Amazing. Amazing turn of events, because it was a heathen king that destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. But now a heathen king is saying, I'll pay for it. You go back and rebuild it. Amen. And thank God the prophecy that we recognize today is the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple in Jerusalem. A pre-fulfillment of this prophecy was when Antiochus Epiphanes, a Greek king, ransacked Jerusalem and desecrated the altar and the temple. And that we know to be the abomination of desolation that Daniel wrote about. There is no temple in Jerusalem right now, but God can cause it to spring up. God can provide the way that it's going to be done. Even with a heathen government, even with a heathen ruler, God is able to bring it about, just like He did for Cyrus. And we recognize God's word is going to be fulfilled. Nehemiah and Ezra continued with the work of rebuilding the temple. They had to deal with apathy. They had to deal with lethargy. The people of God were being distracted and going another way, but they completed the task. And thank God they didn't fall back, but they moved forward for the things of God. And oh my, the prophecies that we're seeing now being fulfilled one after the other. The potential of the things being fulfilled that are written in the Word of God, particularly in the book of Revelation. We know now that we have the technology for the mark of the beast to be applied. We know now, because of the media and devices, the scripture that says every eye shall see him can happen by the technology. Yes, Daniel wrote, knowledge shall increase and many shall run to and fro. We're recognizing those things are happening. And the judgment and destruction of the seals being broken, the trumpets being sounded, the vials being poured out that John wrote about, we know are apt to take place with all of the things that have happened. But man doesn't have to be the one that brings it about. God doesn't have to wait for the advancement of technology. There can be volcanoes that go off. There can be earthquakes that take place. There can be tsunamis that happen. And in the natural realm, there can be disaster and destruction. What we need to determine is, I'm not going to fall back to the old ways. I'm not going to step away from what God has for me. I'm going to move forward in what the Lord desires to bring forth. Praise God. And we know the blessings of God that can happen and take place. These trees that are being cut down around here because of our concern of wind blowing them down against the building happened just because their death happened just because of one tiny little beetle by the thousand and millions infesting into the bark and so on. What if? You know, I don't want a what if disasters, but we recognize those things can change just like that. And God can fulfill His word. Oh, that God will fulfill His word when we hear the trumpet sound. Amen. The shout being given, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. I want that to be fulfilled. And so let's go to Hebrews 10 for just a little while here. and recognize that the scripture says in verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't get rid of it. Don't throw it aside for some idea that there's a better way. There's something more philosophical or something more educational and so on. You need to get rid of that old-fashioned scripture, that old-fashioned Bible that doesn't fit. It's not relevant. It doesn't go along with today's society. Oh, yes, it does. Thank God for the power that's in the Word. Verse 36, you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Thank God. We can do the will of God and know His power to be there. And there will be a reward. There will be a promise received. We continue doing the will of God. We're not going to fall back from the word of the Lord. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Thank God, he will come. He shall come. You can count on it. Now, Peter wrote about how that some men count slackness and feel like maybe that's how God is with his promise. But we know one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. He is not slack concerning his promise, but he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank God. There is that opportunity to ask God for forgiveness. There is that devotion, that dedication that we could make. God, I need for you to change me. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to go the ways of sin. I don't want my eyes to be blinded or my heart to not be able to see. But God, I want to be changed. And thank God, the power of the Lord comes forth to change. The power of the Lord is there to forgive. Hallelujah. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to that place of beginning, that place of asking God for a change, that place of asking God for forgiveness. And keep in mind, he's not going to tarry. He will come. He will come. Amen. And that makes us understand there shouldn't be a tarrying in on our part about repentance or baptism. Paul wrote, today is the day of salvation. The devil is such a liar. He's such a liar. I remember him talking to me and telling me, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost, when I was seeking for the Lord. You're going to receive the Holy Ghost, but it'll be next Sunday. It'll be next service. And I was foolish enough as a kid to fall for that. Until finally, praise God, the Lord fulfilled his promise for me that I was seeking and desiring, and I received the Holy Ghost as God filled me with his Spirit. Praise God. So why tarry? Why wait? Why put it off? Paul was told not to tarry by Ananias, who came to pray for him. He said, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, you ought to thank God every day that the Lord reached out to you and brought about that fulfillment of knowing his power in the name of Jesus Christ to remit every sin. Thank God that we know the goodness of the Lord to make a change in our lives and the remission of sins. Hallelujah. And know the infilling of his Spirit. Stammering lips and another tongue becoming a reality. That's why Paul, encountering followers of John the Baptist in Acts chapter 19, asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We've not even heard about it. Well, how were you baptized then? You see, the new birth is born of the water and of the Spirit. And so he wanted to make sure both elements, both components were being fulfilled. They said, John's baptism. John baptized with a baptism of repentance. But he called for them to believe on him that was to come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard that, there was no argument. There was no debate. There was no delay. There was no tarrying. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then Paul put his hand on them, and they received the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit spoke through them. Oh, thank God for the rest and refreshing that God is still giving. Thank God for the fulfillment of the promise. It's still happening. Don't draw back. Don't fall back. The just shall live by faith is a powerful statement in the Word of God that Martin Luther grabbed a hold of. And it brought a change to his life and a change to the whole picture of religion back in those days. There was faith for obedience to the Lord. And Paul wrote about living by faith. And three times we find it in the Scripture. We're still in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. There needs to be a focus on pleasing the Lord, not pleasing yourself, not pleasing the crowd, not pleasing culture, pleasing the Lord. That's where your focus needs to be. Without faith, impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6 lets us know. But with faith, thank God, you can please him. You can be in the place where the Lord smiles on you. You can be in the situation where the Lord's going to provide for you because of that faith. You can let the Lord work and will in you his good pleasure. Thank God. And you can find out what is included in the promise when the Lord said, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He's pleased to do that. It's not a hardship with him. He's not just sighing and complaining and saying, "Oh, good grief, here they are calling on me again. Here they are praying again. Here they are. Look at those tears. I'm so tired of this." No, God doesn't do that. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank God that we know his power and his blessing. So the writer in Hebrews 10 emphasizes it again in verse 39. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Thank God. We're not going to step back into that place of destruction, of ruin, of loss. I'm not going to suffer spiritual loss and the loss of salvation. No, I'm going to believe to the saving of the soul. Thank God. And the power of the Lord. Believing that word is so important. The spiritual knowledge, the understanding of doctrine. That's what the Lord was saying when precept upon precept, line upon line. Thank God we can exercise our faith. Here and there and everywhere, your faith can be in operation as the power of God is displayed on your behalf and the Lord shows up and shows off to how his power can minister to whatever your need is, whatever your situation is. Thank God that we can know the power of the word of the Lord. Studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or explaining correctly the word of God. And thank the Lord, that truth is powerful. That truth will make you free. Be sure you develop a love for and a love of the truth, because that's the basis of the foundation of salvation. Praise God. Amen. If you're going to draw back from your flesh. That's what we're going to do the next couple of days. Amen. We're going to say no to the flesh, denying our flesh, dying daily, like Paul said, not coddling our flesh, but dying to it, crucifying it, the affections and lusts, and continue on in the battle for your soul. Amen. And, you know, there's an interesting scripture here in Deuteronomy 7 and 22. The promised land, the place they were being led to, the powerful promises that God was showing, the signs and wonders, the miracles that were going, and his positive presence being there with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to let them know, "I'm here for you. I'm leading you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm with you." Thank God that his Spirit is within us for that same purpose, to let us know, "I've not forsaken you. I'm going to be there for you." The Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. It's going to be a little at a time, that thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. You see, the plan of God was for there to, the battle to be continuous. There was rest and peace. Yes, we know that. But it was something that you had to face, something you had to keep on, something you had to continue on in. And thank God, we're not going to fall back from the fight. We're going to continue on so that our faith will be victorious. Amen. We're not going to fall back. We're not going to draw back. We're going to draw nigh. The scripture says, draw nigh to God, and he shall draw nigh to you. James 4 and 8. And somehow, I don't know how we got it in our heads that you take one step to the Lord, he's going to take two towards you. That's not what the scripture says. He's going to draw nigh to you. Thank God. The God of the universe who could be off somewhere in another galaxy and making sure everything is working the way it's supposed to. And then all of a sudden, he's right here, right by you, touching your body, healing your mind and your heart, ministering to you in a powerful way. Our God is so great. When you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Praise God. That's what it says. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll be the one to lift you up. And oh, what a lifting, what a raising up, what a resurrection of his power that he will bring to you. You see, God's plan is victory. Victory, not defeat. Victory. Victory over death. Victory over the grave. Victory that overcomes the world. And the Bible lets us know that's our faith. John in Revelation, I love the victories that he writes about. I love the praise and the worship that is so overwhelming and so powerful. I know the judgments are there, and my hope and my trust is, God, you're going to deliver us out of that. You've not ordained us for wrath, but to salvation. Praise God. You're going to move us into that realm of glory and power. John saw those who had victory over the beast, over his mark, over his number. They were singing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. They were saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Hallelujah. And I've got to make sure, Lord, you are my King. Lord, you are the one who is in charge of my life. I put you upon the throne of my heart. Thank God for the praise that we can raise to him, because his works are marvelous. They are great. And like David gave praise to the Lord, he said, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. And the list could have gone on, but he stops there to go on and say, all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Thank God that we know he is the one who is all powerful and almighty. He is the one who is going to continue to lead you and to guide you, not to fall back, not to draw back, but to move forward in his power, in his glory. And thank God we know his goodness. We know his strength. Praise God. We are not of them which draw back, but believe to the saving of our souls. Hallelujah. Stand, please. Thank you for being so attentive. Thank you for absorbing the Word of God. We've gone through it real fast here today, because I'm looking forward to what God's going to do right here in this altar today. The power of God that's going to be shown. The blessing of the Lord that's going to take place. Hallelujah. So I invite you to come and pray. Please come and pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here's what we're going to do. All together here. As we stand united, Hallelujah. As we stand before the Lord, mm-hmm. we're going to ask God for forgiveness. Amen. We're going to put ourselves upon the altar, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's just reasonable. That just fits with his plan. That's nothing extraordinary. Extraordinary to us, I know. Amazing to us, miraculous to us. But this is just what God says. This is what I'm going to do for you. This is how I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to renew your mind. I'm going to transform you. I'm going to make you a new creature. Wow, that's incredible. Psychologists have been trying to do that for years. Teachers and educators have been trying to find the key for that for years. But oh, our God, what a mighty God. So we're simply going to pray, God, forgive me. Well, you say, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't. We're going to ask God to forgive us because we don't believe the promises like we should. We're going to ask God to forgive us because we don't look to the word of the Lord, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We kind of let it just go by. We're going to ask God to forgive us for not reaching for him like we should. Instead, we reach for other things that don't satisfy. We reach for so many things that are damaging and problematic instead of reaching for his goodness. So, close your eyes right now and just imagine the Lord upon his throne. Let's ask him to forgive us. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ.